gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You were listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio. We have Patrick here in the house.
What's up, people? How you doing? Guys, have a good week.
Good week, man. Hey, did I even introduce myself?
Everyone knows who you are. Oh, come on.
Just in case. This is Danny, aka Godfrey, just in case. And also we have Pete Rock. Pete, what's up, man?
What up? How you doing?
Good, man. So you guys are good?
Oh, more than
still
good,
Fallout,
man.
Still Fallout?
Oh, my God. I'm the king of the wasteland. You have no idea. I've started my own little private army. I'm their general. I mean, like, things are going so my way right now. I'm just having the time of my life. And I'm only 7 hours in. It's kind of absurd. Right. But, yeah, it's quite the fun time. Look forward to playing more of it.
Awesome, man. So head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it. Listen to our past episodes and share with your friends or subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio. And we everywhere. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us fanmail at gamertagradio.com. And it's about that time, y'all. Fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Got me.
Oh,
Pete.
I was just in the middle of a cough. I was trying to mute, and then all of a sudden you caught me. Oh, damn it.
I gotta leave that. That was so good.
Yes.
I wasn't ready.
You want to do it one more time, Pete?
Hold on.
I'm going to leave it because it's funny, but I'm going to play the sound right now so we can give you a second chance. You ready?
Yeah.
There you go.
Go ahead.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
So we have a lot of questions this week, but we're gonna start with this voicemail straight from Puerto Rico. Shout out to my boricuas out there, all the boricua listeners. So I'm gonna play it right about now.
What up, Gamertag Radio? This is Boricua Star coming from Puerto Rico. Hey guys, excellent show. I really, really love the podcast. Excellent interviews. Definitely enjoying the recently reviewed Rise of the Tomb Raider. I'm definitely going to get that. I had actually three quick questions. The first one, what is the most difficult game that you ever have faced in your life? I mean, if you have to choose one, which game is the hardest, most difficult one that you have ever played? The second one, which is the most emotional game you ever have ever played? I mean, this type of game that you play that really, really grabs you, and you know, it just moves you. You know, even if it makes you want to cry or something. I just want to know which game has grabbed you emotionally. And the last one, which is the most scariest one, which is the game that really, really sets an impact, like, damn, this game is scary, it has jumping me all over. Just want to know all those three questions. So keep up the good work, Boston, Pete, definitely Danny, and Mr. Vicious 696. Keep up the great work. See you guys. Peace.
Oof. Hardest game, emotional game, and scariest game. Pretty good question, man. I like
that's
that one.
Top tier question. Thanks for them a lot.
Thanks for the voicemail. So I'm gonna start. I'll let you guys think for a little bit. Now, my hardest game that I ever played in my life, and it was the most frustrating game too. Do you remember the first Ninja Turtle game that came out for the original Nintendo?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
dude, that was one of the hardest games that I ever played, and I think the design was just the design was
seaweed.
really bad.
I had nightmares about that purple seaweed forever.
I was a fan of that game. I mean, of not the game, of the actual cartoons, that I was like, no, I'm going to finish this game. And I finish it, and it was the worst ending ever. All the turtles get together with Master Splinter, and they were like saying something like, hey, and they had like a pizza party, and it says the end. I was like, what? I went through all that for that garbage? It was the worst. Most emotional, I have two games. One, of course, the first season of The Walking Dead. Two, Final Fantasy VII. There's a part, for those that never played it, that was very, very sad. And I got emotional, I gotta lie. And the scariest game. That's a good one. That's a pretty good one. I'm going to go to left field. I think Fear 2 was pretty scary.
Ooh, that's a pretty good choice. That did have some good really moments.
Yeah, I like that. What about you, you guys?
All right. I'll go. I'll let Pasta finish it off. I'll say most difficult game right now would be Black Ops 3 on realistic mode. Just because it's impossible to get through the first level. I don't think I've ever seen or heard of anybody getting through halfway through the game on realistic.
I'm taking that as a challenge. I'm going to go try that
right,
now.
All right. You need to stream that. You need to stream that.
Why?
Yes.
Beyond that, going back, we're going back years now. Ghost and Goblins.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Ugh, or Sewer Shark on the Sega CD-ROM.
Ooh. Ghosts and Goblins was pretty tough.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's going to be for my most difficult. Emotional, I think I'm going to go, it's like what everybody else is probably going to say, with the exception of Poston because he's cold as ice. Walking Dead Season 1. Oh, my God. Near tears at the end. When watching my son play through it and watching his reaction. So crazy. Scariest, Condemned Criminal Origins, and I think I've said this before on multiple on another show earlier in the archives. Really, that was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, was a launch title for the 360.
It was,
yes,
and
it was
one of the best still launch titles
with
ever.
Me as the most scariest. Yes, we've got video of me freaking out on Alan Wake, and I love Dead Space, but nothing gets you like Condemned Criminal Origins. Hmm.
Oh, by the way, shout out to Until Dawn. Pretty scary game.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't jump as much as Fear 2, but
no.
Go for it.
Well, that's just because what's her name is just so freaky when she shows
Alma.
Up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, every time she pops her head, you know it's like, no.
We got a history.
Pete, now that you have a PlayStation 4, you should definitely try out that game. Maybe there will be a Black Friday discount somewhere, man.
For which one?
Until Dawn.
For Until Dawn.
Until Dawn.
Pete, it is so good.
I have to
good.
Put that down on my list of games to not play.
Yeah. All right, Patrick. What
all
about
right,
you, man?
So this is tough. So difficult game question. I'm going to vet myself here and say I'm not going to count the NES and 16-bit era of SNES era of gaming because I was so young back then and all those games were so freaking hard. And a lot of them still are really freaking hard. So I'm going to keep it in the modern era. So I'm going to point towards two games.
He's calling me old.
No, I'm not calling you old. I'm just saying I used to suck at games when I was a kid. So I had to wait until I was a little bit older. So for me, what it comes down to is two games. Because I want to break this down into two fields of games. The original Ninja Gaiden remake on the original Xbox. And
Black?
Its sequel, Ninja Gaiden 2. Yeah, Black counts as two. But no, Pete, I'm telling you, I was so bad at the first one. I didn't even get to Black. I couldn't even handle the base Ninja Gaiden experience because that was really one of my first experiences playing those types of games. And that game kicked my ass up, down, left,
hard.
Right.
I
it's like they beat and start all
Black
over the
almost
place.
Almost made my list. Black was almost on my list.
I wish I was a better enough gamer to claim Black was hard enough. But for me, just the pure, either whatever normal or hard it was for Ninja Gaiden, it was so brutal for me learning all that stuff firsthand. I made it halfway right before you fight Alma in the church in the cathedral. And I was like, no, I can't even right now. This is impossible. And I had to give up. So when 2 came out, I was like, you know what? That's not happening again. I'm coming at this game hard. So I put so much blood, sweat, and tears into 2. That final boss fight when he's in stage 2, man, I was so livid in front of my television. You would think that I was being murdered, probably. Because I was just like, I'm going to fucking kill you. Like, and when I did, it was so satisfying to finally beat that game and say, finally, I beat Ninja Gaiden 2. Thank God. And 3 was terrible, of course, but I got to give Ninja Gaiden 1 and 2 as being some extremely hard games for me, you know, for being a new player to action games at the time. So those definitely take the cake for me. Most emotional. Yeah, Walking Dead Season 1 was really good. I think I may kind of be cheating because I kind of guessed what was going to happen at the end, and I was right. So for me, I think The Last of Us is going to take for me the most emotional game, just because I had no idea where the game was going plot-wise, and it was continually surprising me and, you know, pulling me by the heartstrings here and there. And also, to the I'll include the Left Behind DLC as well on top of that. It's a really good job of making you care for characters and then, you know, kind of like, you know, stripping all that happiness away from you, if you will. So a lot of games have done emotional content really well. A lot of JRPGs throughout the years have done fantastic jobs with that. But I think Last of Us, in terms of a mainstream appeal where you can sit anybody, even non-gamers, down and, you know, they could get engaged in the story, I think Last of Us did a great job with that. So most scariest game. For me, that is every Silent Hill and Resident Evil when I was a kid in the 90s, because I was way, way too scared to ever play them. So for me, I got to kind of echo what both Danny and Peter saying. So I'm also going to give the first Condemned Criminal Origins its much due gratification and congratulations, because that was honestly the first game that I ever beat that I considered scary, because I was finally 16. I felt I was enough of a man to be like, no, you know what? I'm not going to let this scary game beat me. I just got 360. I want to play this game. And I'm glad I did, because it was one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had in gaming. I mean, I'd probably put Condemned in my top 10 games if I had to be critical about it, because such a good experience.
As a launch title?
Amazing, I mean, God, up against Call of Duty 2 at that. That game was doing things that no other game was doing back in 2005. And still a lot of games haven't really picked up on some of the way of how to build a proper environmental horror effect, you know, that Silent Hill effect of you're afraid of the environment. It's not even like what's in there at that point. Everything is freaking you out, setting you on edge. So Condemned killed it. But then also, you got to talk about the original Fear. Fear 2 was great, but Danny, for me, the original Fear was one of the scariest games I ever played in my life, because the buildup was so well done between jump scare, slowly getting a plot, psychological horror. Then the last hour of that game is some of the most tense, terrifying, like, you know, make you jump moments of that game.
I have to admit something though, Paris.
So good.
Possum. My bad. I have to admit something, Possum. I never played the first Fear.
You have to. It's the best one in the series by far. Graphically, it's going to look a little dated compared to some more current stuff, but the gameplay is perfect. And I do recommend it on PC, because that's how I played it first. I did play the 360 port later on. That was okay. But for me, this is a mouse and keyboard game. And, you know, as a mouse and keyboard first-person shooter, Fear is up there. It's so well-designed. The multiplayer is actually fantastic, and it still has a community on PC because it's such a fun multiplayer setting. But that campaign, that scare factor, it's still just as effective, I think, because the lighting works so well in that game. And you had another one of those really great video game endings, and then two amazing pieces of DLC and Extraction Point and Perseus Mandate, which honestly were even scarier than the base game, which I didn't think was possible to do that. So that whole Fear experience, I think it's a tie between that and Condemned as two examples of how good first person can be for horror. I know Silent Hill is king to a lot of people. I respect Silent Hill greatly. But for me, in becoming the character, looking through their eyes, that does so much more to scare the shit out of me, let's be honest. Because PT proved that very much.
Especially you, Possum, that now that you're getting a PC soon, do me a favor, go to Steam and download Layers of Fear. It's a
now I have beaten that on Xbox One. So have you?
Oh, you did.
Yeah,
oh,
did,
okay.
Did you finish? Right. Well, I talk about that. Did you finish the preview on Xbox One?
I finished it on Steam.
Okay, so we both had the same machine. Experience. That was a pretty good game. If you haven't checked out Layers of Fear yet, I would recommend it. Because it's PT style of first person exploration, very similar to Amnesia as well.
I was going
to
say
you
that.
Haven't played Amnesia.
I was compare that to PT.
But I really liked that game a lot. It did a very good job with the atmosphere, the sound, the visuals look fantastic. Obviously, it's a preview game. It's still in active development. But I welcome more things like that. You know, everyone misses PT greatly. I would love for more things to fill that void, because for me, you know, horror has so many opportunities in gaming. You can do so many different things with it. You know, you have the Dead Space route, Resident Evil, Silent Hill, Condemned. There's so many opportunities to scare the crap out of you by making it interactive and making you control what you do. That, you know, please, more developers out there, make scary games. I think, you know, the renaissance has returned for horror games, because I think because a lot of these PC-only horror games are now getting onto consoles and there's a lot more attention on these games, that I think we can get more of them. That's great, because they are so cool. And that, again, it's one of my things most looking forward to being a PC gamer in the near future, is being able to go back and play some of these really strange, atypical horror experiences that have been locked on PC this whole time.
Yeah. See, I did during Halloween. I was just downloading like scary games for the Steam machine. So
awesome.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
This time of year, we want to look our best, especially now with the holidays. You know, a lot of events happening from now all the way to the end of the year. You're going to get together, traveling to meet family, or a nice little gift exchange. Why not try out Harry's? What makes Harry's so special? Harry's is the only shaving company that has both amazing quality plus low prices. German engineered 5-blade cartridges, close shave, no cuts or burn, quality guaranteed. Full refund if you're not happy. Factory direct prices, cut out the middleman, and they sell their blades at half the price. Over a million guys have already made the switch, and thousands of more switch every day. Harry doesn't like to discount because their prices are already really low. And I have a special offer for GTR listeners. Harry's will give you $5 off your first order with this exclusive promo code GTR. Go right now to harrys.com. That's HARRYS.com and enter promo code GTR. Harry's also has a great holiday gift for you. A limited edition holiday set, which includes the copper razor, a bottle of foaming shave gel, and their new travel bag. Go right now to harrys.com and enter promo code GTR to get $5 off of your first order. Go right now to harrys.com. That's promo code GTR.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Before we go to the next question, I know P had one of the best experience when he went to the Dead Space community event that they had with EA.
Yep.
They're probably like one of the top community events that you ever been to, correct or no?
It was a lot of fun, seeing as like it started off with two movies that the group that were invited got to be, you know, we all got to choose what kind of movie we wanted to watch, you know, leading into the whole event. And that included watching Sunset, I believe, or Sunshine, I believe is the name of the movie. It's a horror space. And then I believe it was Evil Dead. And then after that, got to speak with the art director and Glenn Schofield, formerly of the Dead Space team over at EA before he started up with Visceral. Just so much fun getting to actually get holding the weapon, I can't remember the main weapon you use in Dead Space. The one that shoots the light.
The pistol one or the...
Yes, the pistol one.
Okay, yeah. That fusion cutter kind of thing.
The fusion one, and it flips left and right or whatever, you know, up, you know, vertical and horizontal. Seeing, you know, talking with the artist, figuring out how he was able to create those monsters, like deep down, go into his psyche and pull those designs. It's just, there was so much seeing how those games are built from the ground up and getting the whole history. And I think we've discussed it, or I think it was in Q's interview with all of us. The first GTR event that I went to, or event I went for as a representative of GTR, was EA Studio Showcase 2007. And on my way there, I heard about Dead Space, and I told Danny, whatever we got to do, anything that has to do with Dead Space, that's what I want to do because that's the game that I'm looking forward to. Yeah. And it's, wow. Dead Space still holds a special place in my heart, but I'm sorry. It's as great as a game as it was and as great as a franchise it was, it still doesn't touch Condemned. I mean...
Oh, no, of course not. Of course not. But it was good for what it is.
The end of Condemned, when you don't have your flashlight, you don't have your taser.
That farmhouse is one of the scariest buildings I have ever explored in my life.
You can't really use your gun because you're holding up the planks of wood to light your way because it's pitch dark.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to use your gun, your view is kind of skewed. No, dude, there's no way. I don't even think I want to. I don't think, having played through the game, I don't want to play through it again. Let's put it that way.
All right, so we have more questions here. Can you guys would like to pick one?
Sure, fine. This message is from Udit from India, Destiny related. Do you think Bungie should add matchmaking for raids? And I really wish Paris was here for this, and maybe we may want to push this off to another fan mail episode, or maybe ask his opinion for next week. Do you think Bungie should add matchmaking for raids so that players who don't have friends or groups to play Destiny raids and strikes can also enjoy the game? Strikes, for the most part, I do know that they do have matchmaking, so it's not as difficult.
It doesn't for Nightfall, though, and I do think Nightfall does need it, in my opinion.
It does, although you only really need two, and that's more of a coordination thing. Going as far as raids, I know according to his email, he said he's tried going on LFG, but it's kind of difficult being that he's in India and most people would be playing from America or Europe. So the time variance is kind of, it's kind of difficult. You're just going to have to, unfortunately, you're going to have to maybe tailor your game time to match up with when these players are available. It might be a little bit more difficult now that games such as Fallout and Black Ops 3, et cetera, are taking people away from the game. But LFG is a great resource for that. I don't know if LFG is going to add a place or time for people beyond those time zones. I don't really use it all that often. I usually use it with my core raid group and my core Destiny team. But that's probably something. With as much coordination as that's needed, I don't think random matchmaking would work. I mean, I jump in random matchmaking for strikes, and sometimes nobody talks.
And that's the worst.
And
I hate those, but
in strikes, you don't really need to talk much. Mm-hmm. It's mostly, bullet sponge, bullet sponge, bullet sponge. Oh, my friend, I see my teammate is down. Let me go revive him. But in Destiny, especially Oryx mode, for example, when everybody has to step on a specific platform in a specific order, and if nobody can coordinate that properly, it's useless. Same with the later parts when you're doing Golgoroth or when you're doing the Daughters or when you're actually doing the boss, Oryx. A lot of that is timing, coordination, and process movement. If step three goes out of turn, you got to start over. You might as well wipe and start and rinse and repeat. So I can't see matchmaking.
It would be hard for matchmaking.
Matchmaking for raids being a viable option. And again, maybe just reach out to LFG. See if maybe there is enough. And again, my inexperience with LFG will be showing here. I don't know if there's an Asia ladder for LFG. I don't know if it's just Europe or the Americas based on time zones, et cetera. Maybe that's something, you may want to reach out to their people and see if maybe that's something that they can add. Mm-hmm. And if there's enough support for it, maybe they'll add it. Who knows? Again, I don't know about it because I don't use LFG enough. But anybody that's listening on the show, if I am wrong or you need to correct me, throw it up. Maybe we'll read it out next week, and we can get Paris's response to this as well.
Mm-hmm, definitely. I have this is a special message because my cousin sent me a message through Instagram, and I have to read it. It's pretty funny. So he wrote, "Cousin, what up, bro? Your podcast is all over the States, man. I just found out that my coworker is a huge fan of your show. When I told that you were my cousin, he couldn't not believe it. Small world, man. If you could send him a shout out, his name is Crossface, Cross Face. So shout out to him. He listens to the show religiously. Congratulations on your success. All right, shout out to you, man. Thanks for listening to the show, man. Just wanted to give you a quick shout out.
This one's from Greg. Shout out to Greg. He says EA Access is a great service, and he says on Thursday before Star Wars comes out, he's going to download the game via EA Access, and it's going to give him about 10 hours of use throughout the whole game for Star Wars. So what he plans on doing is he's going to get the game early to see if he can play the game for the full 10 hours. He can preload it in advance to be able to play it, you know, for the full 10 hours, not to spend 10 hours actually installing it. He says he's going to buy the disc version of this game when it comes out. He says why? Because of the value of it. He says he's in the Xbox reward programs, and if you buy the physical game from the store, they have it shipped to you with free shipping, and you get $15 on your account as well. He won't have to install the disc because of EA Access is already installed. And when he gets bored of the games down months down the line, he can just trade it in, and at some point, it'll pop back up in the EA Access vault, and he can try it again. That's a pretty smart mechanic. So basically, he's just saying, you know, he wants to make sure that he can get his full enjoyment out of Battlefront, and then, you know, if he wants to play it later, you know, at some point, it's going to pop back up in EA Access. That makes sense. So I can definitely see that. For certainly, if you're the person that, you know, doesn't keep up with releases as they come out, EA Access is a wonderful value because you're getting so much content. But, you know, I'm getting just not for me who plays games as they come out. But that's a smart thing, Greg. He also shout out to Final Round, which is the, I don't know if you know what Final Round is, but it's a yearly fighting game tournament in Atlanta, kind of like the biggest in the Southeast. It's going to be March 18th through 20th. Obviously, it's going to be there. Greg, I've never had a chance to go to Final Round because it's always been the same week as other conventions in Atlanta, but I may just go this year for the first time because I've never been, and I'm kind of curious because I really want to see what's going on with Street Fighter V. So hopefully that's out by then. We will see. So if they have a tournament for that, that would be amazing. So I may have to just go for that, Greg, if they do have that going on. But shout out, thanks for the feedback as well about using EA Access.
All right, this is from Low Men's Due. Hey guys, so like the subject is, are we becoming graphic whores? I'm not saying that I don't enjoy wonderful textures, colors, etc. that our consoles are managing to produce. It's a hell of a step up from the old days. I totally agree. Compare that to my old school Ninja Turtles until now. It's a big difference. But I was seeing the comparison between PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 versions of Black Ops 3, and thinking to myself, what is the complaint that everyone is having? To me, it actually looked clear and even more well-structured, and the PlayStation 4 was beginning to look
oversaturated,
and everything blended together. Right now, I'm playing the campaign for Black Ops 3, and you can hardly see anything without turning on one or two enhanced vision modes they give you. I would love to hear what you guys think. Thanks for reading. No, thanks for the email, man. Very interesting. Interesting email. What do you guys think about that? Because I know I started playing some of first-person shooter games or first-person games on the Steam machine, and I noticed that I had to make my the game was too dark. Maybe it was because it was a horror game. So I put the lighting a little bit higher, not too much. But do you guys see that also with other games? Because, I mean, I only had issues with that with the Steam machine, not on Xbox or PlayStation.
Not so much brightness, but I can kind of get his point about some next-gen visuals having almost too much going on in one scene. Specifically to his point of Black Ops 3, where he's referring to the fact that you have two vision modes in the single player of the game. One of them essentially is like a pulsing radar that comes out of you, and it highlights all the enemies in red, even through walls that are around you. And another one basically becomes like a heads up display on steroids and says, this enemy is here. He is this type. There's a sniper shooting at you here. There's a grenade next to you here. Your troops are here. Like, it gives you like information overload. There's so much stuff on screen. This basically telling you all the stuff you need to know. Black Ops,
that's a design thing.
Black Ops, it works because it is a science fiction game and kind of does it. It's almost required at points because of how difficult the game can be and how some of the enemies straight up blend into the environment. So I don't think we're becoming graphics whores. I mean, I think that's always going to help push the industry forward, is the, you know, the promise of, you know, wow, that looks amazing. I kind of want to get into that. And then from there, we can be like, all right, now we can talk gameplay. But, you know, with the fact that we have Unreal Engine 4, the Cry Engine, and a lot of other really popular, powerful engines available for license, so anybody can really get their hands on some really great tech and kind of go crazy with it. Perfect example is the Friday the 13th game they're making off of Unreal Engine 4 tech, something that had been possible if they didn't have the Unreal Engine 4 to license in the first place. So I think it's good that we can have these high-powered graphical engines and gameplay engines, because that gives the developers the tools to make what they want, because too often you're bogged down by having to make a whole new set of tools from scratch, a whole new engine. It is much easier to just adapt. I mean, even Fallout, it's still using that same creation engine from Oblivion, and a lot of people like to hate on that, but, you know, the fact that they've had so long to work with it, they kind of got all the kinks out, I think was a good idea. Them throwing everything out the window and making a whole new engine probably would have led to a whole new set of issues to have to deal with like that. So for me, graphics are good, but I'm always going to take the frame rate and the gameplay over the graphics any day. So again, I don't think it's a big of a deal. I think there's plenty of games out there that look visually fine without having to go crazy like Fallout 4. But being Black Ops 3 is also a very beautiful game, but manages to handle that with 60 frames per second and has the cool vision modes on top of it. So it really just depends on what you're playing, I would say. But I mean, I can definitely see his point that some games try to do too much in terms of their visuals, in terms of the gameplay, and that it bogs down the whole experience, because then you feel overwhelmed, or you can't even like tell. And some games are just bad because they don't have, you know, colorblind options, for example, and you can't even tell what's green, what's red, what's blue. But really, overall, I'm liking where we're at with games right now. I like that they're really pretty, but we're not focusing on that anymore. Because I found to think that now with this generation, we're like, yeah, games look really good. But what? Now what? What can we do with that? What can we make?
Is it fun?
Is it worth it? Is it a different experience?
It has a high replay value. You know?
Yeah, I can just go see.
That's what I concentrate on. Look at Shovel Knight. That game is not graphically...
Yeah,
like,
it's done very well for itself.
And that game was so much fun, you know, so.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, what's up, Gamertag Radio? Patrick here. I want to take a quick sec to tell you about this sweet new clothing company I recently discovered called TipsyElves.com. Now, Tipsy Elves specializes in selling some really cool Christmas sweaters for the holidays, but I gotta say this, if you're a hardcore gamer like me, and you don't own a dedicated onesie for your late-night gaming marathons, you, sir or madam, are missing out. You gotta check out Tipsy Elves' line of jumpsuits. They have them for men, they have them for women, they come in a myriad of colors and styles, but the point is this, I managed to grab one of these bad boys just when Fallout 4 was coming out, so for the past 3 weeks, I have been cruising the wasteland in style, taking out Deathclaws, taking out Super Mutants, and basically saving the free world, all while being super comfortable, incredibly warm, and looking pretty snazzy too, if I must say so myself. So if you're in the market for a gift for that special someone, or you just kind of want something cool for yourself, go check out TipsyElves.com. Anything you pick up in the store, when you go to the checkout center, enter the code GTR, and you get 20% off your entire order, and that applies to everything in the store right now. So go ahead, check it out. You might just find exactly what you're looking for the holiday season.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, Potson, before we continue with episode 522, starting this week, we're going to be talking about recommendations for the holidays. It's coming up. It's coming up, the, you know, Christmas, you know, for those who celebrate like different, different holidays.
Time for the
stuff.
Family, time for, you know, good feelings, happiness, but also there's some really cool stuff out there for some pretty affordable prices, I got to say. I'm usually a big Black Friday shopper this year, but the amount of stuff that's come out, even I haven't been able to keep up with it. So, like, if you've held off on some of these big games that have come out, we got some good news for y'all, because there's some really cool stuff available this year. If you've been a little lagging behind on the gaming sphere, if you're not up to date, you're going to be very happy come Christmas time if you listen to a couple of our suggestions real quick.
Definitely. Well, for those that would like to support Gamertag Radio, go now to play.it/gamertag. That's play.it/gamertag. And during the from now all the way to mid-December, we're going to be recommending these items for the holidays that overall from the whole staff that we highly recommend for you guys to purchase this. It's going to be good. So for today, we have three items. So let's start off with the first one.
Yeah, so first off, we're going to talk about Sony's new PlayStation 4 bundle available right now. It's the Uncharted, the Nathan Drake Collection bundle.
Yes.
So what this is going to get you is it's going to get you the PS4. It's going to get you all three of the original Uncharted games that came out last generation on the PS3. So if you're like me and you're like a big Xbox 360 gamer, or if you're a Nintendo Wii gamer and you just never ended up picking up a PS3, PS3 has a fantastic library of games to go back and pick out from. But Uncharted definitely rose to the top of the pile, in my opinion, as kind of like the de facto, look what PlayStation can do. You can't get this on anywhere else. So I remember I bought a PS3 late in the life cycle just to play these games. I replayed them recently on PS4 and the Nathan Drake Collection. I was blown away by how well they held up and how good they looked. Even 2007's Uncharted original one, which might be dated by today's standards, they did a fantastic job updating this game visually, and more importantly, getting it to run at 60 frames per second, because that's the key. A lot of the Uncharted, the 1, 2, and 3, had a lot of moments where the frame rate would dip pretty low when it got into some like heavy, intense action sequences. So like at the time, you could write it off as being, you know, quote-unquote cinematic. But when you played at 60 FPS, the way kind of the developers, Naughty Dog, intended you to play it, it's an amazingly fun time. And this is kind of one of those hallmarks of gaming where I tell people like, hey man, if you haven't played gaming in a while, you need to check out Uncharted. You need to see how far we've come in storytelling, voice acting, character animation. I mean, Uncharted really set the bar for a lot of other games to take up that flag and keep carrying it. And now we got the big news of Uncharted 4. It's coming early next year. So really, this is a perfect time to get a PS4. Certainly if you haven't played Uncharted before, this is a pretty killer bundle, I've got to say.
Yep, I think it's a must-have. I mean, even though they removed the multiplayer part of the game, and I think that's great because I think Uncharted is all about the story. So why not start from scratch, play Uncharted 1 all the way to 3, and then be prepared and get ready for Uncharted 4 coming out next year. Mm-hmm. I think that's a must-have item, in our opinion, for the holidays and stuff. But let's go to the next item. And this game just came out a couple weeks ago. It's a must-have. Fallout 4. If you're into the whole Fallout series, this is a must-have in my opinion. There's going to be hundreds of hours. There's so many quests, so many things to do. Just take your time with this game. So yes, I highly recommend to get Fallout 4. If you're an RPG fan, this is a must-have in my opinion.
I think
did a great job.
I mean, even if you're not, even if you just enjoy immersive experiences, I mean, I would say the setup of Fallout 4, I don't want to give anything away because the story is really good, and I'm still playing because, as Danny said, it's a very long game. But the way it sets you up and puts you into the world, if you played Fallout 3 or New Vegas and you kind of those people that kind of felt like you felt a little lost, you didn't know what to do, Fallout 4, I think, handles that much better of streamlining you into the experience, putting you in the shoes of, you know, your male or female protagonist, giving you a mission to go do. But that's optional. The whole game is about choice. It's about freedom. It's about exploration. Yep. The combat is vastly improved from the previous games. I mean, I literally can now actually have realistic gunfights without having to use the VATS, the targeting system, which is optional. That's the RPG mechanic. But you can also play it like a traditional shooter as well. So I think it's much more accommodating to new players. I think it's definitely the perfect entry point. If you've never tried a Bethesda open world game like the Elder Scrolls series or the past two Fallout games, I highly recommend Fallout 4. I mean, not only is it just one of the best games of this year, it's just a really fun game in general. The immersiveness, the exploration, the setting of Boston, the whole game feels fresh and unique on top of a formula that is proven to work. So really, I mean, even if you're just a casual RPG fan and you're, you know, even if you don't like first-person shooters that much, I do think Fallout 4 is worth checking out. It is an extremely fun game, and more importantly, it's value. You're definitely going to get minimum 100 hours.
Yep.
Most likely that's going to be 200 if you're the kind of person that has to go find everything. So me, I think I'm, oh my gosh, I don't even know, like 40, 50 hours in so far. I barely scratched the surface of the game. I purposely stayed away from the story so far, just exploring. And this is a game that'll stick with you for a long time. So, you know, for a AAA retail game, if you can only get one game for Christmas, I'm kind of skewing towards the Fallout right now just because you're going to have an amazing time. I'm pretty sure of it. Again, hats off to Bethesda. They did an excellent job bringing the Fallout series, I feel like, into the new generation and making it feel just fresh and new enough and exciting to get people talking. Because everybody I've let play the game that's come over to check it out at my house, they just fall in love with it. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they fixed all my complaints with New Vegas and 3. I mean, it's a blast. It's absolutely worth your time.
And let's go with the last item for this episode. Highly recommended Xbox One Holiday Bundle. This one is a 1 terabyte console, but it comes with 3 games. Gears of War Ultimate, which is possibly one of the
favorite games of this year, and also one of my favorite shooters probably of all time. And boy, you talk about bringing a game back. They brought this game back so well. It practically beat out other, you know, what you would call next gen releases. And this is a game that came out in 2006. It's just a prettier version of that. Much prettier. Runs at 60 frames per second, 1080p natively. You're getting every single all 19 multiplayer maps that came with the game, plus the original DLC that came out for it. 6 game modes. You're getting the entire campaign. You can play that co-op split screen. You can play that co-op online. Total blast to play. I recommend it to anyone that likes shooting games. I mean, I don't think you can't do cover based shooting better than the first Gears of War, in my opinion. They nailed it, and I'm glad they decided to bring it back, introduce it to not only hardcore fans like me, but to new generations that maybe didn't have a 360 back in the day, didn't get to experience the glory of Gears of War. So, yep. I mean, that's a great bundle right there. That's not all, Danny. What else does it come with?
But it also comes with Rare Replay, one of my favorite games from this year, man. It has 30 iconic games from Rare. I mean, Perfect Dark, Perfect Dark Zero. What else?
Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, Grabbed by the Ghoulies. I mean, Viva Pinata 1 and 2. I mean, it's everything. All the way back from the earliest when they first made Jetpack back in the 80s, that old school arcade game. And it covers everything in those 30 games. So I guarantee you, I mean, if you're my age, if you're Danny's age, you probably had a lot of interaction with Rare throughout your gaming history, because they've had a long period of time to build a huge repertoire of amazing games. I mean, if you're a kid like me and you grew up in the 90s, the N64 was the coolest thing on the planet. Boy, you know you're all over Banjo-Kazooie. You're all over Perfect Dark. The only thing is...
And Killer Instinct.
And Killer Instinct. I don't know about Killer Instinct. One of the best fighting games ever made. Oh, Rare Replay. 30 games, $30. It's a deal by itself. You're getting it with this bundle on top of that.
And the last game is one of my favorite games of this year, hands down, Ori and the Blind Forest. Digital copy of that game. Wow. That game is so, so good. And it came out really, really early this year.
Mm-hmm.
We review it. If you guys can, check out our review from a past episode of GTR. It's highly recommended, man.
Yeah.
The first 5-10 minutes of the game, you're going to cry. It's like... It's very, very sad, and the story is so well done that, it's going to get you really into the game. I don't want to, like, mention any spoilers or anything like that, but to me, it's one of my favorite games of this year, hands down. Mm-hmm. I'll put it up there with Fallout and Tomb Raider and all the other games that came out this year, man.
Well, so I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to say that, but, you mean, if you're a regular listener to the show, you know the running joke is that video games can't make me cry. The prologue of Ori totally hit me right in the feels. I mean, it emotionally setting you up. And on top of that, it's a gorgeous, beautiful 2D platformer in an age where we really don't get games like that anymore. I mean, this is a blast to play. I'm not even really a 2D platformer guy at all, but listening to the review that you guys did for this, it made me run out and buy it the next day, no question, and I've have thoroughly enjoyed playing it on and off since.
Amazing
soundtrack, beautiful visuals. I mean, the industry needs more games like this, because it proves that video games are just as much as an art form as any other medium out there. Fantastic game. So for really, this is a trifecta of a collection. I mean, you're really, for me, this is hitting all of the kind of the high points of being a gamer in the current age right now. You're getting exposed to, you know, in my opinion, one of the best third-person shooters ever made. You're getting Rare's entire huge catalog of incredibly fun games throughout the years, and you probably have some special attachment to a couple of those like I do. And then Ori, which for me is kind of like a sleeper hit of the year. Like, I mean, more people need to hear about this game. I mean, this, I think, you know, because it came out early in the year, it got, you know, kind of pushed aside because of the focus on the right now, the holiday season. But man, if you for an Xbox One gamer, I'd recommend you get this anyway. So you might as well just get it with the system. So I think this is a wonderful bundle. I almost feel kind of cheated that I bought my system and I didn't get any games when I bought mine. I had to go buy games on the side. So if you've waited this long, congratulations, your patience has paid off. This is a fantastic bundle.
So if you want to support Gamertag Radio, go right now to play.it/gamertag. That's play.it/gamertag. And click one of these links. It's going to take you directly to Amazon. And just purchase, and right there, you're going to be supporting GTR.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so it's been a month now, over a month, that Alienware sent me their new product, Alienware Steam Machine. which if you listen to the past episode of GTR, I was not really too hype about it. I was like, oh, yeah, it looks cool, whatever. You know, I feel like it was more for the PC gamer, you know. So when Alienware contacted me and said that they wanted to send a Steam machine, you know, for me to talk about it on the show and review it, I was like, all right, sure, I'll try it out. I talked to, you know, the guys, Paris, Patrick, P. I was like, look, I want to try this out with an open mind. You know, I'm not a huge PC person, but maybe this will change my mind about Steam. Let me check it out, you know? Even though I have Steam on my laptop, but I never really played like The Witcher, The Witcher 3, and so on. So, you know, I tried it out for the first time, and it's pretty cool. So the console is the size of the original Wii. Very, very quiet when you turn it on. Quieter than an Xbox One and PlayStation 4. And my console is actually has a terabyte of hard drive. So I've been downloading a lot of the content. Like, for example, I have the whole Valve catalog for me there on my console. You know, have like Portal 2, etc. You know, Half-Life and all that stuff. So this console also comes with a Steam controller. Now, let me tell you this. I was very... It felt very weird playing with a Steam controller at first. But after a while, I really, really like it. I think that if you do get the Steam machine, I highly recommend for you to try out Portal 2. It's the best, in my opinion, the best game to play with a Steam controller. I mean, there's a lot of other games out there that you could also try it out. But I really, really enjoy this controller playing in that game. It's so, so well done, man. All right, so my model is a Core i3 dual core, a 8 GB of RAM, 1 TB hard drive, and a 860M 2 GB GPU. This console is upgradable. You could add more RAM or more hard drive, but the motherboard and video card is not upgradable. I know there's some people out there that love to upgrade the video card and everything. You can't do this at all with this console. I'm going to right now scroll down to the games that I have with the Steam machine. One of them is Among the Sleep. Basically, you're a baby and you're looking for your mother, and there's a teddy bear that starts talking to you. And eventually, it sounds all nice and sweet, but this turns into like a horror game, kind of. So it's a great, great game. I know I've seen this before through Kickstarter. Love it, love it, love it. Also, Cactus, a 4-player co-op game where it's kind of similar to, think of it as like one of those Geometry War type games like that. But it's four female characters. And you're there battling out with, you know, enemies, and there's a lot of cool bosses in there too. Also, Brute Force, great game. City Skylines, great game. Of course, I went to this game that's also available for the Xbox One. It's called Layers of Fear. One of the scariest games that I've seen. And it's an early access game. You know, highly recommend. And David to slash out to him, he also recommended me to download Jazz Punk, which is a pretty cool indie game for Steam. There's a lot of games that I've been trying out. And also this one that works perfectly with the Steam controller is called This War of Mine. It's like a strategy type game. You're basically have like 4 characters that are trying to survive, and you at night you go out there and find more items for food, medicine, weapons. And there's going to be people that are going to try to attack you and rob your items that you have in your house. Like I said, I really enjoy the Alienware Steam Machine. You could play this with the Steam controller, or you could also connect your Xbox One controller or your Xbox 360 controller. And also, I've been hearing that also the PlayStation 4 controller works. I haven't tried that out yet. Like, if you want to play local games, this is work perfectly for that. Now, here's the thing that I wish they could fix, because I'm not this type of person that always going to give great feedback about an item. I would like to talk about this because I want Steam and also Alienware, maybe in the future, they update this software and make the product even better. From now to 2016, next year, probably they're going to make it even better and stuff, you know. So it's very, very early still. First thing, when I got the Steam machine and I went to the store to actually find a game to download, it was like too much for me. It was really, really hard for me to find, you know, games from the store to download. It was like just too much. Imagine someone that doesn't have a Windows PC or doesn't have a Mac. How are they going to find games for Linux? You know, that's the only thing that bothered me a little bit. It was just a pain. So it was easier for me to go through the online store using my computer and filter it. Okay, which games are available for the Steam OS? And I found the games through there. I bought it. So when I turned on my console, it was already there, you know, like that. Or I mentioned this on the show a couple episodes ago. You know, any listeners out there that knows about great games that they should recommend me to download that's for SteamOS, send me an email. And I got a lot of emails from listeners and people from Twitter and social media. And shout out to David, Patrick, well, actually, David, Paris, and also Mandy recommend me some games for me to download, which I've been having a blast and stuff. So thank you for, and everybody out there that been listening to the show, recommend me some games on Steam. Another thing too is I could turn off my console with using the controller, but I can't turn it on. So every time I decide to use the Steam machine, I have to get up, press the button to turn it on every single time. I hope in the future they could have an update with the Steam controller or in the system too, that I could just turn it on by pressing a button. You know, I think that's a little bit kind of strange, you know. Another thing too, I would like to see video apps for this console, like, you know, the Wii U, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3. You could download these apps and watch videos through there. Even Apple TV and Amazon Fire, you could download, you know, Netflix, WWE Network, YouTube, all these, you know, video apps available for those products, but not for Alienware. That to me is a little bit weird. Yes, I could watch YouTube through the website on Alienware, but the thing is, if I choose to go somewhere else within the dashboard, the video is going to keep on playing in the background and it doesn't stop. You know, so that's a little bit, I hope they could fix that in the future, you know. But overall, I really been enjoying the Alienware Steam machine all the way. I've been having a blast. I've been playing it a lot lately. And, you know, it's not even about downloading these third-party AAA games. It's not even about that, because, yes, I could play it there. And if you have a PC, it's even a plus because you can stream it. But the thing that I like the most is discovering these indie games that's not available on Xbox One or PlayStation 4. And there's a lot of indie independent games that is so well done. And there's going to be more down the road. Imagine from now to next year, we're going to be seeing a lot more games and hopefully more third-party games. Maybe they're going to be getting support for SteamOS. You know, right now, of course, I downloaded Bioshock Infinite. It looks great. I have the old-school Star Wars RPG game that it also works for the SteamOS and stuff. And I highly recommend it. Is this something that's going to make you stop playing your PlayStation 4 and Xbox One? No. But if you want something different or games that's not available on those consoles, why not try the, you know, Alienware Steam machine? You know, and if you have a PC, it's a plus for you guys. I don't have a PC. I have a Mac. But hopefully in the future, I could stream games on my Mac through the Steam machine. And hopefully they will add that in the future. So let's play this right now. It's a conversation with my cousin, Jonathan. He's a huge Steam fan. Huge. He plays this all the time at home. And this is the first time him playing the Steam machine. So let's check it out. All right. So I'm here with my cousin. Should I call you Broly, like in your gamer tag? Or
how call me John.
John, Jonathan. You good with it? All right. Yeah. Just in case. Some people love to promote their username, gamer tag, PSN, you know.
Broly Bro, yeah. Broly Space Bro at Xbox or Steam. It's with the underscores because you can't do spaces, so.
True. Speaking of Steam, we're going to talk about a Steam machine. What I did was I invited a couple, like my brother, his kids, you know, my nephews and stuff, and also my cousin, John. We've been playing for a couple of hours, Steam machine. This is your first time. So what my plan was, I wanted to get someone that's really into consoles and another person that's really into Steam. You love Steam. I know you're a huge, huge fan of Steam, correct?
Yeah, Steam is the best. I mean, the deals you can get, nobody out there can beat it.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, so this is your first time trying out the Steam machine. So far, your first impressions?
Well, at first, when you showed me the controller, I was like, what the hell do I do with this? So you explained it, and I'm like, okay, this works like this, and this works like that. It's a pretty unique... That's probably the best word. It's a unique controller. There's no other controller like it. The machine itself is awesome. Like, you can... I mean, if you don't like the controller, you can still hook up your Xbox controller, PS4 controller.
Well, for those that don't know, we're talking about the Alienware Steam Machine, because there's so many Steam Machines out there. But the one that we have is the Alienware version, and it's a 1 terabyte. So I've been downloading a bunch of games through Steam. During the Halloween weekend, they had like a sale, so I bought a couple games. And, you know, I was looking for like scary games, because I was like, man, it's Halloween, I need scary, scary games. So I downloaded a couple, and... I'm telling you, man, I really enjoy the Steam Machine. Like, I honestly wasn't thrilled at all when they announced this a couple of years ago. I was like, whatever. I'm still going to be playing console. But now, every time I play the Xbox One or PlayStation, I go back to the Steam Machine and start playing it and see if there's any deals and stuff like that. So I like it. I mean, right now, the dashboard itself, it's all beta. As of right now, until November 10th, then once the console and everything comes out, it's not going to be beta anymore. But one thing I haven't mentioned is that every time I turn it on, there's always an update, because they've been updating like once or twice a day. They're trying to get everything right before it launches and stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, so far, I mean, when I first heard it was coming out and they showed the way the controller works, or they showed the picture of the controller, I was like, well, I've never seen this. And I'm like, a Steam console? Really? I mean, you might as well buy a PC. Why? But now I get it. It's like, if a lot of people don't, it's a better transition for trying to get console gamers to play PC games. So I think it's the right move. Hopefully it does well. I don't know if they have enough, if they advertise it enough or whatever. Well, that's
what I've been noticing is that this has been like word of mouth, websites, social media, YouTube, that type of thing. There hasn't been like no major marketing or anything like that. So I think, I mean, it depends how many they have available for sale from there. I mean, I don't know. I really thought it's not going to sell like Xbox or PlayStation or anything like that. But for what it is, for the hardcore Steam PC gamers, I think it's gonna sell for that amount of people, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I would buy it. I'm probably gonna buy it when it releases. I can see a whole bunch of people that use Steam buying it, especially big streamers, because what they usually do is that they have two computer setups, one to play their game and one to stream their game. And this will, you know, you save so much money from a PC just buying the console. Yeah, I was very surprised. I thought it was going to sound more of a little bit louder, but no, it was just very, very quiet and very small. So, I mean, I completely sucked with it at first. Trying to play BioShock, it feels like a trackpad. If anybody's trying to play PC games on a trackpad, that's pretty much where your right thumb would be. It's very weird. I mean, for first-person shooters, I would suggest using like an Xbox One or PS4 controller.
Because you're so used to that, right?
Because I'm just so used to it already. But like you said earlier, the controller itself is good for games like Civilization 5 and any strategy games or anything out there that feels like you need a mouse to use.
Actually, we were playing Cactus. That's the name of the game, the 4-player co-op game that we were playing.
Yeah, Cactus. Pretty fun game. I had no idea about it. And
I was like doing my research, because I've been doing that a lot for the past 2 weeks. Like, all right, I want to find the right co-op games, the right local co-op games. And that game, I found it, and it's really, really cool. It's basically all female characters, And each female characters, they have two weapons, primary and a secondary. Secondary lasts a little bit for like a couple seconds, right? And think of it as Geometry Wars, but with a bunch of enemies and there's bosses and it gets really, really tough. And you need to also recharge your battery, because if your battery runs out, the game is over. So it's a lot of things you're going to be aware of. Is the orbs that you pick up, the power-ups, what type of character you use, and you have to also pay attention to the enemies and make sure to get the green orbs, because those are the ones that are going to help you charge your battery for everyone, the whole team and stuff. So it was really, really fun. We went to like the fourth zone, I think.
Yeah, the fourth zone really started getting tough at the third zone for us. I mean, given the fact we were playing with your brother's son, so it's...
Four players. So we had three Xbox One controller and one Steam controller.
Yeah, I mean, Xbox One controller felt fine. Your brother said he was playing fine. He actually preferred the Steam controller on that game. And I can see why, because it'll be easier movement with your thumb and you're, you know, looking in circles the whole time because it's craziness everywhere. I mean, so, but yeah, if you like Contra / Geometry Wars, yeah, it's pretty fun.
Do you see yourself spreading the word about it or what?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, for sure. I mean, if I had a couple friends, and which I do, that have Steam and I play with Steam, I'll be like, hey, you should check this out. This actually be, they might not like the controller because the controller is unique. It's very, but you can get used to it, but you can still use your other controllers, like we said. And yeah, I mean, and for any person that doesn't have a good PC, this is a perfect buy for you. I mean, building your own PC now or buying a new PC is like roughly $1,000.
This one is around there.
$450. The controller is even $50.
Well, this one comes with a controller.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's true. Okay. Yeah,
but if you definitely want to buy the controller, you could $49.99.
If you have another friend in the house or a brother or sister or whatever, $50 extra. Yeah.
Well, John, I just want to say thanks, man. Thanks for coming and stuff. And it's good that you try out the Steam machine. I was like, man, I got to invite him. I know he's a huge, huge Steam guy, man. So I want him to check out the Alienware Steam machine and the controller, see what he thinks and everything. So thanks for coming, man.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. And maybe we can play more.
Yeah, let's play more. All right, guys. And that's it. I would like to say that if you guys would like more information about Steam Machine, go to the Alienware website. It is there. It's available now. And I personally like it. I've been having a blast, and I would like to thank Alienware for sending me the product. You know, any guys out there that have Steam, add me right now at Godfrey7. That's Godfrey7. And let's play some games, man. I would like to play with some of our listeners. All right, so we're going to wrap it up, guys. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com or play that it and listen to our past episodes, or give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@GamerTagRadio.com. We're out. Peace.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.